of the entire outfit? Is it the chest plate that you'd want to wear the most? Is it the skirt? Like, which part of the Tommy Trojan outfit would you be most enthusiastic to throw on?
USC football's back. Trojans, Washington State this weekend. By the way, Trav.
Back.
Washington State coming off a 26-23 loss to Utah State. Don't pay attention to that. Rebounded against Portland State. They won by 20.
The
powerhouse matchup this weekend.
Pac-12 had a bad weekend. Oregon was great. Everything else was just an absolute. San Diego State smashed Arizona, too. It was just a terrible weekend.
How many times have you said that? The Pac-12 had a terrible weekend.
Yeah. Well, way too frequently. Wait, by the way, you didn't answer the question. Chest plate or skirt? Which part of that outfit do you like the most?
What do you think I'm going to say?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
Chest plate.
You know, you got to go sleeveless. You got to get in the gym and knock out some push-ups or something and all swole before you put on the chest plate.
I'm good. Let me just tell you something right now. It doesn't matter when.
By the way,
did you see, you know, we're talking about they were going to do push-ups over on Friday?
Yeah. Did he do it?
I think Sedano cranked out 49, if I'm correct.
Ooh,
here.
Impressive.
Impressive? That's incredibly impressive.
Wow.
Yeah. No, that's.
Cap put up 42. 42.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
Look, anything more than six is pretty impressive.
You were telling me.
Once you get past six, it's not too bad.
You undercut yourself so much.
About the push-ups?
Yeah.
You think I'm kidding. I guarantee you I couldn't do 10.
No, you can't. 100%
sure I couldn't do 10. Travis Lee is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. SC embarrassed themselves again. Stanford comes in, pushes them around, blows them out. SC season, for all intents and purposes, is absolutely gone. You're not going to come back from this. The team looks terrible along the way. And people, you know what, Al, I said to you, if they don't care, I don't care. Apparently, I'm not the only one that feels like that. Let's try another one here. Let's go to Ladera Ranch and Grady. Grady, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. You guys are too funny about that tarmac thing, and we really need to get that at LAX, like, ASAP. You know, when it comes to football, it's almost like talking to a kid. Like, if you have your own kid and you try to coach them, and then they get to a point, what you're saying to them is stale. Mm-hmm. And an example of that is our special teams, right? Last week against San Jose, we tried to return the kick inside the 10-yard line. So you would think you would coach them up, they wouldn't do it again. Stanford, same thing. We do it again, so we put ourselves in a bad position. And it just keeps – a nice guy is a nice guy. And we're fight on. Fight on actually means something to us from SC. So we don't want to give up. And that's why we keep coming to the games. But with this type of outburst every single week, I mean, we're only 1-1, so we're not done, right? But if you actually saw the game, it just the air was 100% out of us. I don't ever hope for a coach to lose a job because that means something for their family. But we have to make a change, and we have to make a change ASAP.
Grady, appreciate you calling in. By the way, if you guys want to be a part of this chat, 877-710-ESPN. So, Trev, that's what Grady just hit on at the end. That's the key. Listen, losses are going to happen. This is part of sports. The world's not going to end. But it's how you lose. Is it humiliating? You know, SC was a 17.5-point favorite against Stanford, and at one point late in the third quarter, they were down 29.
Yeah. No, look, it is over. With all due respect to Grady, who sounds like he knows what he's talking about, I get it. You're 1-1. It's not over as far as the math says. It's over. Stanford just came into your building as a near 3-touchdown underdog and smashed you. This wasn't some weird little fluky thing where they beat you 42-41 because you missed an extra point. It's not what happened. Stanford came in and laid hands on SC. Look, people that know, know. The reason that when SC is going, when they are SC, when the John Robinson teams, the Pete Carroll teams, the really good SC teams, John McKay, of course, before then, nobody pushed them around. Nobody. They were absolutely dominant up front on both sides of the ball. Offensive line, defensive line, they would dominate. Stanford pushed them around like it was a varsity team going up against a JV team. I also love what Grady said about the specialty. Did you see how that game started, Al? Literally, the opening kickoff. Parker Lewis, the SC kicker, yep. kicks the ball off, and gets ejected from the game for targeting.
Mm-hmm.
How little control of your program do you have when your kicker is running down spearing guys?
111 yards and penalties.
Yeah, that's coaching. That's coaching, and there's just really no two ways about it. Let's try another one here. Let's go to Tony and Santa Clarita. Tony, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up, Tony?
Hey, if you guys remember the 90s, after the riots, USC recruiting fell off a cliff, and UCLA beat them like 8 or 9 years in a row with Donahue. And I think that's going to happen again. This is going to be a decade-long drought or whatever. And they were so desperate that they had to bring in a bunch of junior college transfers this year. There's like a bunch of them on the team. They couldn't recruit, or some people left. I don't know what happened. And I think the team is basically meant for the current students just to go hang out on a Saturday. They're not really meant for the public or not even the alumni. It's just for the current. It's like a gym class now. It's not really a big deal like it used to be.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. Thank you, Tony, calling in on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 877-710-ESPN. Look, the 90s, the 70s, the 80s, the early 2000s when Pete Carroll's teams were really good. This isn't a recruiting issue. SC's recruiting classes, more often than not, are pretty good. It's a coaching issue, and it's a want issue. The coaching issue is manifested in you're getting 4- and 5-star recruits. They're not getting drafted into the NFL. That's a coaching problem. Okay, Alabama takes 4- and 5-star guys and turns them into NFL players. SC takes 4- and 5-star guys, and it's meh. So that's a coaching problem. The other part is the want. SC has rolled with this coach far too long. And the reason they've done it is because, well, reasons. They don't really care. If they cared, they would have fixed it a long time ago. If they cared, they would have fixed it after any number of bad losses and mediocre seasons. This is not Arizona or Cal or Oregon State where just kind of being in the mix is a good season. You need to win the conference. They have not been in the mix like that in a meaningful way for quite some time. They just don't care anymore. And they're making it crystal clear.
Trav, here's a reality. This is what's going on in LA right now. This is what you're competing with, okay? If that was, you know, a USC-Stanford game on September 12th, 11th, whatever day that was, if it continues to trend this way over the next, let's say, 4 weeks and they just continue to lose and maybe they're a game or two below 500, whatever the case is, this is what you're competing with. Dodgers are competing for a World Series. Lakers have Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James. The Los Angeles Rams, obviously what they're doing down at SoFi, even if you're not a Charger fan, you're going to go down to SoFi Stadium because of that new stadium. I only say all that for one reason. They're going to become less and less irrelevant, and that's unfortunate for a program like you've mentioned and you've highlighted has had so much success in the past.
It would be unfortunate if they cared what was happening and they were trying to fix it and couldn't get it right. They just don't – this is – the house is on fire, and they're just standing at the front yard saying, huh, well, what are you going to do? Put it out. They're choosing not to put it out. They're letting it burn. They're just letting the thing go down to the foundation.
What's the insurance policy on this?
Yeah. Hey, I don't know. I mean, is it still burning? Yeah.
Okay. Turn the sprinklers on.
It'll go out eventually. It'll go out eventually. All right, right now it's time for our Stat Hero Weekend Hero. Look, I don't know if I'm ever going to have a better Stat Hero Weekend than I had this week. Cooper Kupp. Yes, Cooper Kupp. Just him. I did the Thursday, Sunday, Monday, all the primetime games. You get the players from there.
Oh, so all of a sudden a 56-yard touchdown reception helps you in fantasy?
Well, 7 catches, 108 yards, 1 touchdown for 56 yards gives me 57.1 points just for him. Or I should say 44.7 for him. I've got 57 on my team. We got the Raider game tonight, so I got Hunter Renfro going. But I'm going to now be 1-for-1 in the NFL on Stat Hero, Al.
Okay, here's the thing. Stop showing off. All right, stop showing off. People don't like show-offs. Here's a great thing about Stat Hero. You guys obviously know this. The exclusive daily fantasy app partner of the Travis and Sliwa Show. Stat Hero is the first ever daily fantasy sportsbook that gives the player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/710ESPN for 300% back on your first play. By the way, tonight for me, the Monday night game, you know how we look at this and everybody gets all prepared for Sunday, get all prepared for the weekend. You can play tonight.
Yep.
Monday night for Stat Hero. I got my game going on, and I don't know even if I win if I'll be as cocky as Travis is, but Travis feels good about himself.
I would have been a Cooper Kupp. I could have just had him going up against Edwards, Ezekiel Elliott, and Evans, and it would have been enough. Robert Woods threw in a bonus 12.5 points. Really didn't even need those. Hunter Renfrow hasn't even played yet.
You know what you should do? You should screenshot what you did on Stat Hero over the weekend. Send it to Les Snead. Just say, hey, just do this. Just say, hey, do I need to say anything more about you making some type of a position there in the front office for you?
Well, the reason that I dominated Stat Hero this weekend, and you should do it as well, go sign up, is because Matthew Stafford's a real quarterback, Al. Mm. He's a real quarterback. Here's something we haven't mentioned yet, and I think it's incredibly important. I get it. The Bears are not going to go to the playoffs, right? The Bears are in a little bit of a rebuild mode on the offensive side of the ball. Justin Fields got in, scored his first touchdown. Andy Dalton's, you know, he is what he is at this point in his career.
They're trying to figure out what they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what they are? They got a pretty good defense. I mean, this is a team with Khalil Mack. This is a team with Robert Quinn. This is a team with Hicks. This is a team that has some real decent NFL defensive players. I said to Kirk, we were watching, doing the postgame show last night, I said, how much of this, what we saw tonight, is that the Rams are really good and that the Bears stink? And he stopped me. He goes, hold on a second. The Bears don't stink. The Bears have a good defense. The Rams' offense was just that good. This wasn't just, hey, we got a good draw on opening night. We're hyped up in front of a home crowd at SoFi Stadium. Nearly 80,000 people there last night, just peaking, just absolutely electric atmosphere. You get caught up in the momentum. That's pretty good defense over there. And the Rams, they were able to do – you know how many times Johnny Hecker punted last night?
How many?
Once. Once. The Rams punted once. Other than that, they scored. Or they ran out of time. The quarter, they had on the half went in. They punted once yesterday. That's how good that offense is with Matthew Stafford.
They put up 34 points. Here's a beauty. And by the way, if you're looking at this as we don't really have anything to work off of. Remember going through the preseason, you and I kept saying like, oh, what do we say? We haven't seen anything. It's not like it used to be in the past where you have four preseason games. By the third week, your quarterback's going to play half the game. Right? Like, there was going to be your running back's going to play maybe three quarters of the game. It's not like that, at least under Sean McVay. It's definitely not like that. So, this was the first test and the first opportunity to see. I mean, I could sit here and tell you, like you just mentioned, you're right, it is the Chicago Bears. You know what's going to be more interesting? What's going to be more interesting week three when you're playing Tampa? Week four when you're playing Arizona. Arizona was fantastic yesterday against Tennessee. I don't know who would have thought they would have blown out the Titans on the road. Week five, you're at Seattle. So this is the beauty with the upcoming schedule for the Los Angeles Rams. Whatever you saw from Stafford, you're going to get some real tests, and I think that's going to be great to kind of watch unfold.
All right, at 11:30, another issue of Fact or Cap coming up. But, Al, did you hear what Max Scherzer said about Clayton Kershaw yesterday, and did it make you think about what might be happening after this season?
Real quick, just to kind of throw this out there, Scherzer obviously a free agent at the end of the season. Clayton Kershaw, a free agent at the end of the season. I think the quote is interesting enough to see if that both of these guys may still continue to have a future with the Dodgers.
You'll hear it next. It's coming up. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You ever had a long wait for something out that you just you can't wait, and it finally gets there, and it's just exactly what you hoped for?
Of course, October 3rd, Lakers Nets preseason game number one. What are you talking about?
It's a good example. But
you know
here's
what
the rub.
You know what sucks when that game ends? Only 87 left.
Here's the problem, though. You might not get the result you want. You know what yesterday felt like? Yesterday felt like the culmination of 6 years of waiting. Here's what I mean. The Rams come back from St. Louis 5 years ago, and it's 6 years ago, I should say, and it was, you know, the enthusiasm was kind of tepid. It was, yeah, cool, okay, NFL football's back, but, you know, we'll see. Rams hadn't been very good at that point, and playing in the Coliseum, which is old and kind of beat up, but, yeah, cool. And then you see the plans. Oh, wow, they're going to build that? Really? Okay, well, you know, I can't wait for it to be here. And then the team wasn't very good. And the team got a little better.
And then
it's
delayed a year.
Yeah, it rains for the first time in a century, and it gets delayed a year. And then you have a pandemic, and people aren't allowed to go in it, even though it's there. Yesterday felt like the payoff of 6 years of waiting. A really good team in a building that's all theirs, that's state-of-the-art, with a frontline head coach, with a frontline NFL quarterback, new uniforms, fans buying in. This wasn't a curiosity. This wasn't, hey, let's go see what the Rams are like and what that new building's like. Those were Rams fans in the house last night. It was just so much fun to see 6 years building up to it, and the payoff was absolutely perfect last
night. Well, that's what you got to do. You know, we talked about this with USC where everyone is trying to grab your attention here in L.A., and we all have a short attention span. So you have to be successful. You have to have a good product. You have to have guys that people know, they recognize, especially in football. So the product that you kind of described yesterday, and then you got on top of that a $5 billion stadium, which, by the way, the Super Bowl is going to be there this year. By the way, the hype. I mean, just look at – go watch any of the local broadcasts. And you see them outside the stadium. You know, it's like, what the hell is that thing? You know, it's – and you were there. I mean, you got a chance to kind of experience all this, and I'm sure that's one of the more premier events that you've ever been to.
It's right up there because of the grandness of the venue, too. Emily, you found your way out of there in one piece. I know that you texted us at one point, like, guys, you might want to start early. You got lost?
So I left earlier than the end of the game because I didn't have to do the post-game show, so I wanted to beat some traffic, and so I decided to leave. I went in the elevator. I thought, okay, let's go to the first floor. That means you're getting out. So
that means the field level.
So I get out.
You should have texted me.
I get out the field level, and I'm like, this is definitely not where I'm supposed to be. And so then I get, I try to go up the stairs. They say you can't go up the stairs. I'm like, okay. And then I go in the elevator again. It takes forever in the elevator because they're dropping off a bunch of people.
No, they lock the gates. They don't let you in until the game ends.
And so then I ask five different
they
people.
They should do that at the Coliseum for SC.
I ask five different people how to leave, and they all say that work there, and they all say, I don't know. And I'm like, how do you not know how to leave
Everybody's
the building?
New. Everybody's new. We're getting used to SoFi. It looked great last time. I'm glad you made your way out along the way. People, I like your idea, Al, locking the gates behind the seat fans.
No, you got to wait till the game ends.
Yeah, we're down by 30 points in the third quarter to a terrible Stanford team. That's your problem. We got another quarter of football to go. Sit down.
Feel free to sit in a different location just to kind of, you know, change it up a little bit.
Okay, so yesterday, Max Scherzer becomes just the 19th player in Major. By the way, they put Major League Baseball for almost 150 years. Mm-hmm. So if you say you're one of 19, you've done something pretty impressive. 3,000 strikeouts for Max Scherzer yesterday. He joins that club. Clayton Kershaw is about 350, I should say, strikeouts away from getting to that number as well. And I want you to listen to what Scherzer says about this, because I think there's a little bit of information here. This is Max Scherzer.
Yeah, he was just happy to be able to watch it and that we're on the same team. So hopefully I'm here and be able to watch his 3,000th as well. So, you know, obviously what he's done in his career, you know, he should reach that milestone, and that'll be a special milestone for him as well.
That's it.
Did you hear that?
Yep, he just signed a deal.
Did you hear that?
Scherzer just inked a 3-year deal. Details of the amount is still undisclosed. You know what came out of that, Trav? Can I ask you a question here? So we did this a little bit earlier. If you're Max Scherzer, actually, I remember this before the trade deadline. If your goal was, I want to go get another World Series, right? You've kind of Think about how much money he's made over his career. And, oh, by the way, he won a World Series, you know, with the Nationals, and he'll always be, you know, let's just say he'll never have to pay a meal again in that city.
Right.
Here he is now playing for the Los Angeles Dodgers, and it's not like he's the third or fourth best pitcher and he's not relied upon. No, he's their best pitcher right now. And that's, as great as Walker Buehler has been, that's how ridiculous Max Scherzer has been. Why? I'm just kind of playing this out here. You have an organization that's already shown it's all about winning. You already have an organization that's shown if we got to go out there and go get a guy at the trade deadline to put us back in the mix or over the top or whatever the case is, just go look at the Dodgers. Look at what they've accomplished over the last 9 years. I don't know what Scherzer's going to do after this season, but doesn't it kind of seem like why would you go anywhere else?
Well, I really do think there's only one scenario where he doesn't come back. And I think it's a narrow one. I don't think it's likely. And that is that the Dodgers decide it's just too expensive. That if he's going to make $40 million a year and he wants 3 or 4 years at his age, I don't know if we can go there for economic purposes. Now, they've never indicated that they're not willing to spend money when it's the right thing to do, so I'm not super worried about it. But that's really it, because you're right. Look, Dodgers may or may not win the World Series this year, but they're in the mix. They're going to be in the mix next year. They're going to be in the mix the year after that. They've got this unbelievable blend of veteran guys, younger guys, guys that are coming into the bottom of the pipeline, and the guys that are going out are not guys that are so valuable that you can't replace them. Look, this is the scenario that terrifies the rest of Major League Baseball, which is this team drafts and develops players better than anybody else, which the Dodgers are in the very thinnest slice of that. They're very good at identifying what you are bad at. Hey, you want to let Max Muncy go? We'll take him. You don't think Chris Taylor's a major league player? Okay, fine, we'll take him. Watch this. Turning those guys into very useful pieces. And then they've got the wallet to cover any mistakes that might happen, any things that might pop up. Oh, Mookie Betts is available. Yeah, we'll take him. Yeah, but you got to take David Price. Fine, we'll take him. We'll give Mookie $400 million on top of that. We'll go get Trey Turner and Max Scherzer. Well, they're both free agents in at the end of this year and the end of next year. Okay, what's your point? There's no soft spot in the way that they do this. And to your point, Al, if I'm Max Scherzer, where else do you want to go? Mm-hmm. What else do you want to do? I don't know that there's a better scenario. I give you maybe, and I haven't heard anything like this, maybe he doesn't like L.A., maybe he doesn't like Southern California. Hard to imagine. I can't imagine why he wouldn't like it. But, you're talking about really small things that might prevent it from happening. It feels like he's getting ready to pitch here again next year.
I will say this, and I like the point that you brought up. You said if it comes down to economics. Well, the reality is, that's not even the problem with the Dodgers. I don't think it will come down to economics. It will come down to responsible and irresponsible. One of the things an organization like the Dodgers, when you're a big market team like them, you should have more flaws. If you have that much money and you have that type of market that you can kind of use to your advantage, you also should not be that responsible and have that good of a farm system. And like you said, be able to take players that aren't successful somewhere and then make them successful within your own organization. You shouldn't have both. And that's what you're referenced to when you say this is what the rest of Major League Baseball is so worried about. Trav, it's maybe this is a bad example. Someone who has a lot of money should also purchase stupid things. You know, like that happens, right? Like
yeah.
Somebody is buying that car that you're saying to yourself, that's a really stupid investment. The Dodgers have all the money, but are still like getting the pre-owned. It has 15,000 miles on it. Somebody else just came off a lease of it. Like they're still incredibly smart as well. That combination, it's you're not supposed to have both. They have both.
No, you're not, and they do. And if that guy decides to stay and Turner decides to stay, then all of a sudden they're loaded up moving forward. Because look. Dustin May's coming back. Walker Buehler's just in the beginning of his prime. And now we get to see Clayton Kershaw again for the first time since early July tonight against the Diamondbacks. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see whether he looks like a guy or whether he looks like Clayton Kershaw. I'm anticipating Clayton Kershaw.
I forgot to mention this to you. We've done this before. Mm-hmm. I want your first gut initial reaction when I say this one name. Kenley Jansen.
Better. I feel better. I was really worried. I don't feel great, but look, I'm not going to be the guy that wants to be right more than looking at what it is.
He's kind of been pretty good.
He's been fantastic. He hasn't been pretty good. He's been better than that. He's been fantastic.
That was actually Trinan who gave up a couple runs on Saturday. It was Kelly that came in to get him out of the jam. Then it was Trinan one, or it was Kenley 1-2-3.
You're right about that. You're right about Joe Kelly. He's really been very good. When he throws strikes, he's nasty too. Look, I feel better about Kenley. I'd love to see him keep going. But that little thought in the back of your mind is still kind of
get some credit on this. How many saves did Mason say? Say 35?
I don't know.
32 right now for Kenley.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to get more than 35 because they're going to have to keep winning games if they want to get in there, and they're going to need him to pitch it. He's been very, very good. No question about that. All right. SC people are still livid, Al. You know what? I'm glad. I just am not one of them anymore. I've kind of moved on from it. Plus, fact or cap. That's all coming up. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
So much going on. Great Rams win. Dodgers sweep the weekend series. Max Scherzer, 3,000 strikeouts, nearly throws a perfect game. But some other things that kind of fell through the cracks along the way. I want you to listen to this, Al. This is great. This is the call from Jackson State. Yes, that Jackson State. Deion Sanders, Jackson State. He's the head coach there, beating his alma mater, Florida State. This is what it sounded like.
Snap the Cooper. Looking down the field. He's got a man. Caught it. He's free, Phil Y'all Johnson at the 10, at the 5, touchdown! Touchdown! There are no flags! Touchdown pass on the final snap of the game! Jacksonville State has won it!
My bad, Jacksonville State, not Jackson State. Jacksonville State, I blew that, but Jacksonville State just beat Florida State. You can hear how hyped they are, Al. That's fantastic.
Oh, no, I picked them. I did my pick 'em over the weekend. That was my lock. If you're looking for, picks in the NFL and in college, just text me. Okay. First of all, let me just
say
this.
They could beat SC. SC's probably taking off
point favorites. They'd be 9-point favorites. First of all, let me just say this. By the way, cool storyline too. I think that's the game where they pay. Florida State pays them $400,000 to play them.
Absolutely.
It's the final play of the game. Obviously, it's not supposed to happen. You love some of these small schools listening to the local play-by-play. Something interesting happened in the game. Are you aware of this? You aware of what happened after? Okay.
So a man by the name of Brady Scott, who is a offensive lineman for Florida State, okay, Florida State just lost to Jacksonville State. Yep. Not Miami, not the Florida Gators, not Virginia Tech, Jacksonville State. And this guy decides that that's the moment that he's going to propose to his girlfriend on the field. The Jacksonville State players are still celebrating in the background, and Brady Scott's on one knee proposing to his girlfriend. So good.
Let me tell you something. That's when you know you care about your girl, okay? Doesn't matter the environment. It doesn't matter. It's almost like the equivalent of there's a war going on in the background, and you're like, no, this is the time. No, this is the – she's going to least expect it right now. God bless the man, but let me just use a football term.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we call audibles, right? So if the game plan was I'm going to propose to my girl after we blow out this team – and it's all good, and then we just kind of move on. It wasn't another team in the conference where I was worried about losing that game. You lost the game, bro. Like, literally, in the background of your photo of you proposing is the other team going crazy, winning on your home field. Just an easy audible, I think, Travis. That's a kind of a fair thing to do.
Well, you're right, and I like the idea of an audible, but if anybody should be calling an audible right now, it should be Lady Brady Scott. She's the one who should be like, I don't know if this guy's got a good sense of situational awareness. They just had the most embarrassing loss of their lives, and he's doing it right now, maybe? you know, maybe I go see what those Jacksonville State guys are up to. Maybe there's one of the guys over there that's pretty interesting. That's what they should do.
Babe, we're doing it. We're doing it. I don't even care. I don't even care that everyone – this is going to become a national topic and everyone's going to talk about it. I'm proposing right now. That's not a good one.
All right, so speaking of bad losses, back to USC getting smashed by Stanford over the weekend. A bad Stanford. Look, this is not the Stanford team with Andrew Luck. This is not a good – this is a bad Stanford team that not only beat them out, they pushed USC around, which is the worst part of all.
Okay, let me kind of set this up too. Because a lot of times, you know, when Travis and I are doing a show, there's certain topics that we think are going to be interesting. And when we throw out calls, Travis, probably about an hour ago, I said, hey, let's take some USC calls. Throw out the number, 877-710-ESPN. When I tell you the phone lines have been lit up and people have just waited to go after USC, it is in our best interest to make sure that we're appeasing to listeners out there that want to obviously voice their opinion on the Dr. Pepper call-in line.
Let's start in La Jolla with Ryan. Ryan, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for the double read on Ask Slee this morning.
Busy day for you.
It is.
Ryan, I'm going to follow you right now. Stay with me here. You keep doing what you do.
Thanks, brother.
You ask Travis whatever the question is. I'm going to get to work here.
Appreciate that. Hey, the previous caller, and I'm coming at this from an alumni and a season ticket holder perspective. The previous caller mentioned that the president does not care. 100% agree with that. Trav, if he cared, not only would he fix the football thing, but he'd go back and fix the baseball team, which has sucked since Mike Gillespie was here. But let's go back 20 years real quick. Pete Carroll, no ties to the program. Nick Saban, no ties to Alabama. Urban, no ties to Florida. Dabo Sliwa, no ties to Clemson. It's time to get rid of Clay, call Kyle Whittingham, call David Shaw, give them whatever they want, bring somebody in here that's going to eat and breathe this thing, and I think we get back to the way we were. Love you guys. Later.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. The baseball comp is a good one, Alan. I know that college baseball is not a great talk radio topic, but let me just kind of, for people that might not understand, USC has won more national championships than any other school, or I should say College World Series championships than any other school in the country. Okay, that for a long time, USC was the blank in college baseball. Major leaguers left and right, College World Series appearances left and right, they were the team. Rod Dedeaux hands it off to Mike Gillespie, it just keeps rolling. Mike Gillespie leaves, and the program flounders, and now they're kind of irrelevant in the Pac-12. They really don't. UCLA has lapped them. There's a whole bunch of other teams, but that's the blueprint for what's happening in football. And I get football is a little different than baseball. It's not apples to apples exactly, but it's close. That if you don't care, if you don't decide, no, hell no, we're not doing this, we got to fix this. If you let that thing spread, that malaise, that disinterest in the program, that it's not important that you win, it's more important that it's just kind of calm and quiet, this is what you get. You get a moribund, boring, uninspired football group.
I'm going to read off one tweet here. Capitano Matt. I was in the student section on Saturday night. They weren't having it from the beginning. The Fire Helton chant started in the first quarter. But this is what I want you to pay attention most to. It says hashtag USC football, then hashtag Dabo Sliwa. We might be going somewhere with Dabo Sliwa. That might be – this might have some legs. Don't pay attention
to anything else that I said.
Anything else I said, forget about it. We're done. The SC thing, powerhouse this weekend, Washington State and USC. Hashtag Dabo Sliwa. That's all I really read from there.
Well, look, two people on the phones have already addressed you as Dabo Sliwa, so it's here to stay. Let's try. You know what? We're doing well in Santa Clarita today, Al. A lot of action in Santa Clarita. Brendan in Santa Clarita, you're next. What's going on this morning, Brendan?
Gentlemen, thank you for taking the call. So, hey, listen, I'm coming, same thing. Season ticket holder, 10-plus years until about 2019. They wanted the personal seat license fees and whatnot, $1,500 a ticket, just for the opportunity to buy tickets for this program. So I've had many opportunities to meet Clay over the years, and just like you guys have said, many people of us said, he is an outstanding person, amazing father figure, character builder, whatever you want to call it. But the real problem is that he has, like, he has an absolutely great agent because he's got some massive buyout. And I don't know the exact numbers, but last I heard it was something like $20 million to get him out of there. Is that, do you guys know?
I don't know what the number is exactly, Brendan. I've heard that it's very, very high, but I kind of reject the notion that SC can't afford it. They choose not to. SC can afford, they have one of the biggest endowments in the country. If they wanted to buy him out, they could.
Exactly my point. And so Clay and Mike Bone, they need to sit in a room, have a little chat, and agree on an exit strategy, in my opinion, which, hey, you're gonna pay Clay. That should be the new chant you're going to hear in the Coliseum, pay Clay. Because it doesn't have to be the $20 million, but he's a good enough dude where I genuinely believe he will take less to see the betterment of the program. And it's going to maintain Clay's great reputation because he has a great reputation as a person, allow him to announce it, spin it in a positive way, but get back to competing, not just holding on, hoping for this win. Because every time we get the lead now, you know that it used to be we could walk out of the Coliseum because we knew we were going to win. Now you walk out of the Coliseum because you're pissed because you know that they're going to lose it. And if they can't come to terms on some sort of buyout, they absolutely need to treat the Coliseum as the United Airlines field that it is and treat it as a tarmac now in tarmac class.
There's a lot of legs behind that one. That one's LAX is going to get just all these calls, and I have no idea what they're talking about. By the way, it's funny when you hear that. And listen, I like when people say, hey, Clay Helton's a good dude. There's nothing wrong with that, highlighting it. Your job is to, you're hired, especially the amount of money that you're making to take on a program. If this is Arizona State, okay, it's a different conversation. If it's, just think of all the other Pac-12 schools. If it's a school that just doesn't have that much expectations, it's a different chat. It's a different conversation. He's hired to accomplish one goal. Maybe it's a couple goals, but one of the main ones is you got to produce. He's not producing. So what do you do? Trev, this is the business that we're in. If tomorrow we're given plenty of opportunities, it's all great that you might be a nice guy, They'll make a change. That's how the business works. It's very simple.
That Mike Bone needs to have a list. This is the oldest AD trick in the book, right? You have a list in your pocket of the five guys you call if your coach gets hit by a bus, right? You need to have that list, and it's the same list that you have in your pocket if your coach needs to get fired, and that's where it is. Is it more important that he's a nice guy than wins? No. Okay, he's not my neighbor, he's not my best friend, he's not my dad, he's not my uncle. He's the football coach of the team in town, and the number one on that list, win football games, and he's not taking care of it. The other stuff's important, it's just not as important as that. All right.
And if it's coming down, just one thing, Trav, if it's coming down to a financial thing as far as paying him off, there are great interest rates right now. I mean, I'm hearing ads out there. I mean, 3%. You don't have to put anything down. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Zero down on Clay Helton's buyout.
I'm I'm sending bank links to @usc.edu.
Hey, it can't hurt. It absolutely can't hurt. All right, Matt Stafford actually better than advertised. That's coming up at 11:55. But up next, get ready, Al.
Fact or cap.
Cap, that's it. Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having my back on that one. Really appreciate it. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Real quick, no thinking, just reacting. You ready?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Highlight of the weekend was blank. What was it?
I'll go just NFL, just the whole day. 10 a.m. everything starts. Go all the way till what time the game end? You say 8:30.
Yeah,
whatever
like
it
that.
Was, somewhere around there. Just the fact, Trav, I don't have to sit here and watch every single game. The games are on. I could tune in when I want. There's always a good game going on. You know what I hated? I hated tuning in and I was forced to watch Chargers and Skins. And I was like,
yeah, red zone, my man. Here? You got to go. Yeah. You got to get the red zone and go from there. All right, I want to get into Matt Stafford and him being even better than I thought he's going to be. That's coming up at 11:55. But first, fact or cap?
Up first, another anniversary of a TV show.
Here we go.
Law and Order premiered 31 years ago today. Is there anything more bingeable than Law and Order? Travis, is this fact or cap?
That's cap. It's close to the top of the list, but there's too many, right? You just you feel like you can never get on top of it. Like you said, 31 years. I don't know how many different versions of Law and Order there have been. There's at least four or five. There might be eight or nine as far as I know. There's just a million of them along the way. It's great. I love it that you can drop in at any time and watch the first part. It's its own show. The middle part, it's its own show. And then the last part, it's its own show. But for me, it's always going to be one of those prestige series, whether it's Breaking Bad or Mad Men or Sopranos or one of those that Law and Order, as good as it is a little too easy that you don't have to pay attention. So I'm going to have it near the top, but not at the top.
The 332nd episode still is my favorite. That by far is the one.
What,
that
you
I
mean
was
the one 12 years ago?
Yep. Ready for this? I've never watched Law and Order.
Once? Ever?
Never seen Law and Order.
You never went like through a phase where you're watching it like all the time? I feel like everyone's had that phase.
Literally have never seen Law and Order.
Well, let me start by telling you, you should start with SVU because that's where Mariska Hargitay is, and she's the best person in that series. She's wonderful and beautiful and talented.
Okay,
and
I got a question.
Things.
I got to stop you here. If I have never seen it, and there's all these other great things to watch,
yeah,
it's too late, isn't it?
Well, yo, for sure. But no, okay, hold on. You know what?
You're not
I take
going
that back.
Back.
It's not. Here's the brilliant part of Law and Order.
I literally need to take a year off of my life
and
just watch.
You're wrong. Here's the brilliant essence of Law and Order. You can watch any episode, and it'll make perfect sense to you. That's what the show – there's no background. You never talk about these characters' personal lives. One episode never connects to the other or very, very rarely. They're all like little one-hour movies.
That's actually interesting. I like that. I like that.
You can drop in anytime you want.
The funny thing, too, is they use the same actors a lot, too. So you might see someone be the murderer in one episode and then the victim in another.
And super famous people show up in that show as well. Like when they're very young, like all of a sudden you'll be like, wait a second, isn't that Robert De Niro when he was 11 years old on an episode of Law & Order? And then there he is 50 years later.
Okay, up next is one of our favorite people to talk about, Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer lost yesterday with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Real shock. My statement is, Urban Meyer will leave the NFL after this year to come and coach at USC. Alan, is this fact or cap?
I'll go cap. And part of the reason why I go cap is because USC has not shown that they want to go out there and get a big-time name. That's number one. The second thing is, can we give the dude a second in the NFL? Just give him a little breather here. Give him a little. I love this, by the way. It's not like Jacksonville has done anything in a long time, so I'm actually curious to see how he does in the NFL. I know a lot of people are quick to kind of pile on him, but I think this has more to do with the fact SC has not shown that they want to go out there and get a big-time name.
It's cap for the reason that you just mentioned. They had a chance to hire him, and they chose not to. Right, that there was all that noise a couple of years ago about hiring her. He'd moved to Los Angeles. He'd taken some time off, and they didn't do it. So I don't know what level of interest there is from USC. Here's the other part. I do think that he will be available at the end of the year. I think he could be one of those one and done. Urban Meyer likes to be in charge. He likes to be a college football coach where you have this little mini dictatorship. You don't have that in the NFL. You have to have a collaboration with your players in the NFL. He's not good at that. So I think he will be back in college. I just don't think it's going to be at SC.
All right. F1's Daniel Ricciardo, to celebrate his first win in 3 years, chugged champagne out of a sweaty shoe. So here's my statement. If we become the number one sports show in Los Angeles, you would chug champagne out of a shoe. Travis, is this fact or cap?
Fact. Absolutely. If we become number one, there's nothing I won't chug anything out of, period. Whether it's champagne out of a shoe or chocolate milk out of a bucket or whatever liquid you want to pour into whatever device, I will chug it if we become the number one show. Daniel Ricciardo, that's his deal. He chugs things out of shoes when he wins F1 races, but it's disgusting, but I get it, man. Winning is fun. I like winners, Al, so if we become the number one thing, I'll chug whatever you want me to chug.
No, I love it. I love that Travis will do it, and he represents both of us, so this is fantastic. This is great. Travis, why not go do this? I'm going to go run a half marathon, probably stop one-fourth of the way because I pull some type of hamstring. Then you could take my shoe, lob a beer in there, take it down. I appreciate what you're doing for both of us.
100%. I would 100% do that. I'm in.
All right, here's my last one. UAB this weekend premiered a turnover skull. So whenever you get a turnover, you get this huge skull that they can wear around. And so I'm kind of over it, but here's my statement. Turnover items need to just stop. Alan, is this Factor Cap?
No, I'll go cap on this one. I actually kind of like it. You know, in a weird way, let's use a couple of the more popular ones this year. And we even talked about Padres have that gold chain they put on and you spin the San Diego thing, right? I think, listen, it's cool because you watch a game and there's a lot of fans that went out and buy them. You go, like, there's something to it. It's merchandise. It kind of adds a different excitement element. Here's the only thing I'll say. You got to be careful with these things. Because if you're out there and you want the attention, you got to back it up. And a lot of times, you know, you look stupid at the end of the day if you've lost 5 of 6 and you have this thing around in your dugout and everybody's kind of cheering. It's like, go win a game before you start running your mouth.
Look, I love them. I think they're great. I think not only should we not get rid of them, I think the handful of teams that don't have them should be required by law to implement sort of turnover
absolutely
change.
By law.
Or something. One of my favorites, I saw it yesterday. The Blue Jays have a sports coat that they put on somebody when they hit a home run. It's fantastic. It's stupid. It's corny. It's goofy. But more than anything else, it's fun. The stuff gets way too serious sometimes. We take it way too seriously about decisions that this coach make. If you want to have a little fun and put some guys in a wheelbarrow like the Red Sox do, if you want to throw on a sports coat or a turnover chain or whatever it is, I am 100% in on that.
I forgot to add that he got this turnover skull when they were losing 56-7 to Georgia.
Well, maybe we temper the enthusiasm a little bit at 56-7, but I still want my skull. If I got the turnover,
do it when you win. Do it
skull.
When you're dominating. Don't do it when it's like, yeah, we're on a 4-game losing streak. Let me go ahead and throw this thing out there.
I'm doing it. I'm going to wear it to work tomorrow. I'm going to show up the next day. Hey, yo, check out my turnover skull. You see that interception? We would have lost 63-7 if I didn't get this done. That's how I would do it. All right, a huge day in L.A. yesterday, including the debut
huge
of Matt
weekend.
Stafford. Say that again, Al.
A huge weekend.
Oh, my gosh. There was Dodgers, there was Rams, there was an SC debacle. We're going to hit all three of those coming up next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.